Today I wanted to share a little bit on confidence. So we're going to start in 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy 1:7. Everybody knows these wonderful verses, but good to hear them again. 2 Timothy. Who can guess? You can basically go to any one of them, but we're going to go to verse 7. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." And if we just stop right now, that would be enough for us for a lifetime of living more than abundant. And I took a look at a couple of the different versions for us, so that it's called the NIV. This is pretty cool. It says, "For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." And that's a great thing to know that we can do, you know, because we got this great spirit that's full of power and love, and that we can be, well, in the King James it says sound mind, and in that one it said, what did it say?
Self-discipline.
Mm. We're the ones that need to control our minds instead of letting the world control our minds. So that's what God's Spirit does for us. It's fantastic. There's another, I copied the one out of the Journey Through Acts and the Epistles. This is a good one too, by Walter Cummins. "Moreover, God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of sober thinking." So he wants us to think soberly, and he gave us all the great things to deal with. That power is dunamis, that miraculous power, abundance. Love is affection, it's big-hearted, and then sound mind, discipline, self-control. So we can do all that stuff. We don't have to allow the things of the world to take over our minds. You know, we can do it. We can control our own minds. In Romans chapter 8, Romans 8:15. It says, this is another great one, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to what?
Fear."
Fear. We don't have to, we didn't receive a spirit of fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, "Abba, Father." So that adoption is something that, you know, he chose us. We weren't born into it naturally, but he chose us and wants us to call him that Abba Father, that daddy. He wants us to have that wonderful heart-to-heart relationship with him, and he chose us. You know, that's the greatest thing. He placed us as sons, chosen. It wasn't like the Wheel of Fortune where your name's on there and he had to pick you just because, but he picked us because he wants us. He loves us. And I wanted to take a look at a couple of records in Acts that shows how these great men did what God told them to do, and God said he would back them up, and he did it, and they did what he said to do, and they got so blessed by doing it. They got taken care of. In Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, and we will start in verse 16. "There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him," which is the sect of the Sadducees, "and were filled with indignation," which is envy and jealousy, "and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison." So here these apostles are speaking God's word and they're getting results, And the high priests and the Sadducees and, you know, all the uppity-ups were, they just were filled with jealousy and anger because of the apostles were getting results because they were doing what God told them to do. So they laid their hands on the apostles and they put them in the common prison. But God had other plans. The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." So what did the apostles do? They cowered. They went back to their homes and said, "We better not. We don't want to go to that in that prison." But they did go to prison. But the angel got them out. And if we go to verse 25, then came one and told them, saying, "Behold," oh yeah, they went and looked for them in the prison, and they weren't there. "Then came one and told them, saying, 'Behold, the men whom he put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did not we straighten the—'" It was like they were going, being brought to the principal's office. "They did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." They were filling Jerusalem with their doctrine that was actually helping people, healing people and blessing people. And the high priests, they didn't like that. "Then Peter," "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man.'" And if we go to verse 38, "We ought to obey God rather than men. And when you obey God rather than men, you get the absolute best result." And this is wonderful what happens. He goes on to say, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. That's how envious and jealous they were of these wonderful apostles, Peter and the rest of them. So they wanted to slay them. So they could have backed down right then, but they kept doing what God told them to do. And look what God does for them. "Then stood there up, one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law and had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put these apostles forth a little space." So that "had in reputation" means that he was an honorable guy and he was going to say his piece. And verse 35, "And he said unto them, 'Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thetis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. And after this, this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed." So these other things, they just came to naught. They ended. They dispersed. So now he says, "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." And that was the great result that these apostles got for doing what God told them to do. This guy didn't have to say all these things, but somehow God worked in his heart and he said them, and the apostles were spared. "And it came, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them," they had to I guess get one more beating in there, just to show them who's boss. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And what did they do? Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They kept doing what God told them to do, and God wanted them to do, and God blessed them back so much for it. And Acts 13. Acts 13, and we will start, and this now, that was Peter and some of the fellows. This is now Paul and Barnabas. I said Paul before, but I was wrong. This is Paul now. Verse 14. Verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience. Listen here. Listen up to what I have to say. And he goes on to lay into them very wonderfully and talking about Christ and all he's accomplished. And if we go to verse 38, says, Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. He was teaching them that basically through Jesus Christ their sins were forgiven. And by him all that believe are justified from all things which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them this next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost a whole city together to hear the word of God. They were reaching one people wonderfully. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blasphemy. They were, again, jealous. They were envious of all the results that Paul and Barnabas and the apostles were getting, and they wanted to put a stop to it. But they didn't back down. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It is necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. You didn't want to hear it, so we found some people that did want to hear it. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were happy. They were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And then the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And it didn't matter what these so-called leaders were doing against it, because Paul and the apostles, they kept moving ahead with God. God kept it going. God kept them, moving along. But the Jews, now it wasn't over yet, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. So they got thrown out. But what did they do? They shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. You know, it didn't exactly go the way they wanted. They probably would have loved to stay there and keep speaking, but they got tossed, and they just shook the dust off. They just let it go, and they went somewhere else and kept doing what God had wanted them to do. They were faithful, and they were bold against what was going on because they had God's Spirit. Let's go to, oh yeah, this is neat too. In Acts 28, verse 30, this is near the end of Paul's ministry, I guess. Acts 28, verse 30, it says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." So even later on in years, Paul just continued to do what God would have him to do, and no man forbidding him, which is pretty cool. They didn't have pain in the necks around him trying to hold him up. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, and we will start in verse 18. These are some things we can do as believers: praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Remember, we have that Spirit that is bold and beautiful and powerful. We can pray in the Spirit, and watching there unto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we can keep speaking God's word because we have his wonderful Spirit, and we can speak it boldly with great confidence. You know, seeing these great examples that of what God does for his people when we obey him, when we do what he wants us to do. In Ephesians 3, in verse 11, it says, "According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." So we can go to him boldly, not sheepishly. You know, that Spirit is a brave spirit, and we don't have to be afraid. We have access, which is admission. In him we have boldness and confidence. We don't have to go to God sheepishly at all, because he wants us to have all these wonderful things. He doesn't put these things in his book to, you know, hold them in front of us and, you know, kind of like the carrot with the stick or whatever. You know, he wants us to have them. He doesn't hold them so that we can't reach them. These are all obtainable. In Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Oh, this is great. Well, you know these verses. In verse 1, chapter 5, says, "Therefore, being justified by faith," because we believe, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into it. This grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So we have peace with God. There's nothing standing between us and God. We're just total peace. He's not mad at us. He wants us to go to him. We've been brought in to his family. he wanted us in his family. It wasn't a push for him. He wants us in his family. In 1 John chapter 3. Verse 20. Well, these are great too. So, if it says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." So there's two wonderful things there. If your heart's condemning you, if you're condemning yourself, what does it say? God is greater than our hearts. He's got that covered. And if our heart condemn us not, then that's great. That means you have confidence in God. So either way, we need to have the confidence. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And when we, you know, the things that are pleasing in God's sight that we have to do only benefit us. You know, he gives us these things to do so that our lives are a benefit and it blesses him. I think about that in John 8:11. You have to turn there, but that was when the woman was caught in adultery, right? So what did Christ say to her? Go and sin no more. So, you know, that's what we do. When we condemn ourselves, we sinned or whatever we did, we move on. We go and sin no more. It's as easy as that. And that's how easy God made it. Colossians chapter 1. How are the mirror people doing back there? Let's see you guys. Colossians 1, verse 11. We can start in verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, which means adequate, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So he made us adequate to get all of his wonderful blessings. He wants us to have these blessings. I think about, you know, when you go for a job interview and they ask you all these questions, and what's that saying? That if you're good, if they want you, you check all the boxes, right? Yeah. So we check all the boxes with God. Every single wonderful check box that God has, when we check them all. Because that's the way he made us, with his spirit. Romans 8. Romans 8:31. So what shall we say to these things? That's the remember the song. If God be for us, who can be against us, right? No one. No one, no one, no one. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justifies? Who is he that condemneth? Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And that's a big nay right there. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Again, if God be for us, who can be against us? No one. And the great part is, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, Oh, I'm in chapter 1. It says, verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we don't have to work for any of this stuff. We just have to believe, first of all, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then all of this stuff is added, multiplied to us. So that's pretty cool. And it's a no-brainer. 1 John chapter 5. It says, verse 14. And this is the confidence, that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So we got to keep having that confidence in the Spirit. And that if we ask anything according to his will and then get to know his will more and more, and that's what we do as believers. We read and we look to his word and we get to know more of his word each and every day. And if his will, he hears us. He wants us to have what we need. In chapter 3 of the same book, verse 22, here's another great one. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And again, those things that are pleasing in his sight that we do, always only benefits us, only makes us have that more abundant life. Hebrews chapter 4. And in verse 14, this is great because it shows just how... I'll just read it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So Christ went through much, much more things than we'll ever go through. If we think our lives are hard, we'll never have to deal with what he dealt with. But it says, and he did it without sin. He was tempted without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we have that great example of him. And all he did and all he accomplished, so we can have this more abundant life. Amen.